And Kathy Dawes now, along with Christina Nolte, Executive Director of Home Care and Hospice in Manhattan. And I know lots of things to talk about and volunteer training. I guess you have that coming up, and we might remind people again what that involves.
Absolutely. We have that just a few weeks away. So starting on Monday, February 20th, we will be hosting a hospice volunteer training, which allows individuals in the community to come and learn a little bit more about exactly what hospice is and how they can help people and families who are going through a hospice experience as a volunteer.
Very good. And we've talked before about the hours involved with that. I'm sure with training, there's certain things they have to do. But what exactly would they be doing as a volunteer? And I know this probably varies a bit, too.
That's the great thing about volunteering is people really get to choose exactly what they do or do not want to do and exactly how much time they want to dedicate to giving of their time. So the main requirements for the training, it's 3 sessions, all held on Monday nights, starting again on Monday the 20th from 5:30 to 8:30. And in those 3 sessions, the volunteers will learn just about hospice in general. They'll get to hear from all of the members of our hospice team, so our hospice medical director, nurses, our chaplain, social worker, our volunteer coordinator, and actual current volunteers themselves. So they get to really get a great picture of what volunteering for hospice patients and hospice families is really about. And then they get to pick and choose exactly how they'd like to give back, whether that be visitation and companionship, whether it be driving people to doctor's appointments, errands assistance, helping people get out and get their groceries. There's so many ways that people can choose to give back, so it's really up to them.
How are you doing on volunteers? I mean, obviously you're having a training. You're probably looking for more all the time. I'm guessing that's a given, constantly all, you know, looking for folks. But you have quite a few right now? Or?
We have over 100 volunteers at Home Care and Hospice, but we're always looking to add more. The thing about Home Care and Hospice is we serve Manhattan in a 45-mile surrounding radius. So we're looking for people who want to volunteer in their communities, whether that be Wamego or Junction City and St. George and Westmoreland, Clay Center. So it's not just for residents of Wamego, but really for those surrounding areas too, for people who want to give back right there in their own community.
And again, thanks for clarifying that too, because I think people sometimes lose sight of that. We know, of course, you're in Manhattan, but it really encompasses a much larger area than that. And in fact, speaking of a larger area, I had a chance to visit with you a few weeks back about the Gary Community Home Health and Hospice change. And explain that again. You say you're still getting lots of phone calls on that.
Yeah, still lots of misconceptions about exactly what is going on with our relationship with Gary Community. So Gary Community Home Health and Hospice is closing their doors as of this week. And so we have been working with them over the past few months to just transition the care of their clients in the most positive way possible. So there's nothing more, no merger, no buyout, no official alignment. It was just that the Gary Community Hospital chose, made their difficult decision to choose to close that program and identified us as someone they wanted to work with. We are very like-missioned, like-minded. We provide the exact same set of services, the home care, the home health, and the hospice. And as I mentioned, we're already in the Junction City community. So for them, we were an easy person to reach out to for support and help. And again, it's just to transition the people that they were providing good quality care for over to make sure there's no gap in coverage and no gap in care, and they can continue to receive those services.
Any idea, or you have a better clue? I think when I talked to you a few weeks back, you didn't really know number-wise what it was going to amount to. Any feel for that now at all, or...?
No, it really, because as all patients always do, both in the Junction City area, Manhattan, anywhere you live, it's patient choice. So patients did have to choose whether they want to continue receiving care, did they want to receive that with home care and hospice. And so their staff has been wonderful to really sit down with every single one of their clients. Again, on all 3 of their programs, we're talking home care, home health, and hospice, give them an educated choice, and then if they chose to elect to continue care, help transition their service over to us. So it's actually an ongoing process. We still have people that we're admitting to services today and tomorrow and in the coming days ahead. So no real hard numbers, but again, we're just serving as a partner in this transition for Gary Community and being there for their community and the patients they've served.
I know it's by a case-by-case type of basis, but what are maybe some of the eligibility. I'm sure there are certain requirements when you look at a case, whether or not it is your type of case to deal with. And maybe explain that. I think sometimes people get confused about that too.
I think you're right. There is a lot of confusion on exactly what the differences are in those services. So home care is a non-medical program. That means we're going out and helping people with what we call tasks of daily living. That might be light housekeeping, grocery shopping, bathing, dressing, meal preparation, all aimed at helping people live safely and independently in their own home. So to be eligible for home care, you just have to decide that's a service that you'd like. Because it's a non-medical program, you don't need your physician to call in an order. You just say, I think this is something that I could use a little extra assistance around the house. So that's kind of how home care is determined. But for home health and hospice, you do have to have a physician's order. So home health is more of a rehabilitative, more of a recovery type service. And that's where our registered nurses, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, we're going in, we have goals, we're trying to get people recovered from illness, injury, surgery, and back on their feet. So an individual's primary care physician does have to call us and ask for that type of care. And then hospice is obviously care for terminally ill individuals. So that person's primary care physician would have to say, in their best judgment, they are in the final stages of whatever that serious illness may be.
It takes a special person to deal with that, too. I just lost a brother-in-law this last weekend, and I know the people working with him, you almost become part of the family when you're that close with the family. You're there all the time and see all sorts of different things that the average person maybe wouldn't, but...
It does really take special people. We are so fortunate to have an outstanding staff full of caregivers. That's our nurses and aides, chaplains, social work, volunteers, so many people who come in and support not only the client who is facing that end-of-life illness, but the family and the friends who are going through it with them. We also have a bereavement program in which we follow those families and friends and provide them with support and guidance for up to 13 months after the loss of their loved one. So a lot goes into hospice care. It's not just the medications and the comfort care of the person, but the emotional and the spiritual support of all their loved ones as well.
And you give the caregiver a break, too. Sometimes a family caregiver gets pretty worn out, too, I know. Well, while you're here briefly, and I know we're going to have Bud Cox on here in a week or two, but you have another thing coming up in February you maybe want to mention real quickly.
We do. We're just about a week out from that. So second annual Hearts and Barbecue, and yet Bud will be here next week giving all the details about that. But the folks over at Cox Brothers chose to do that last year to take a day in February to set aside some proceeds specifically for home care and hospice, not just home care and hospice, but for our employee education fund. So all the funds raised from that day, Cox will donate to that fund, and we use that to grant scholarships to our staff. So that's nurses who are getting continuing education in end-of-life care. It's aides who are working to become registered nurses, and it allows us a chance to hand out scholarships to our staff who are in continuing their education.
In fact, we'll have Bud Cox on a week from today, and speaking about that very thing. He's almost becoming a regular here in our program. Well, anything else while we have you today, Chris? I know we've gone over a lot of different areas, but, you know, anything else?
You know, really, just if you have an interest in learning more about volunteering, it's funny how all these things we talked about really come full circle. So you come on as a volunteer, you learn about hospice, you can give back to these people, you can become an active member of your community, and then, as you said, yourself with your family, it seems like hospice just touches the lives of so many. So it's a wonderful way for you to get involved and help to support people. We all walk that journey. We'll all be in that boat one day. And so volunteering is a great way to learn more about hospice and get involved.
Well, it's been a pleasure as always. Christina Nolte with us today, Executive Director of Home Care and Hospice. You've been listening to In Focus.
Tomorrow on In Focus, Andrew Shores will be hosting the program. Guests include, in the first segment, USD 383 school board member